Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Let's have some fun. If you would, turn to your neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, it's not about you. Okay, if you would, find a neighbor that's better looking than you. Some of you all are not looking. So just find somebody else, find another neighbor, and say, neighbor, it's not about you. Amen. My funny suspicion is some of you have been waiting to tell your neighbor that for a long time. That it's not about you. It's not about you. Oftentimes we have to battle our flesh not to become so individualistic, to not make everything about me and my needs, my selfish desires, to not become so entitled or narcissistic, only enjoying your own reflection. But this morning, I want to remind each and every one of us that it's not about us, but it's about Christ, about being conformed to his image, about being who the Lord would have us to be, and it's not about us. And that sometimes God will put us in uncomfortable situations. He will put us around uncomfortable people. Sometimes God will use us for his glory in places that we don't desire because it's not about you. It's about him. It's not about me. It's about him. I think Ephesians chapter 1 gives us some reasons. As the Holy Spirit seeks to sanctify us, Ephesians chapter 1 gives us some reasons that it's not about us. And if you turn your Bible there, let's explore. And certainly there's more reasons than I'm getting ready to give you this morning. But here's just four reasons why it's not about us. First of all, he reminds us concerning our position in Christ. It's not about us, it's about our position in Christ. Verse 4 says this, even as he chose us in him. In him there means Christ. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We were chosen in Christ. Our position is in Christ. Our worth is in Christ. And he reminds us concerning our position in Christ. Each and every one of us needs to know that it's not about us because we're in him. If we're washed in his blood, it's about Christ. Therefore, we're free from condemnation. Praise the Lord. God is not angry with us anymore. I remember being in a church here in Columbia some years ago, just returning from seminary, and the preacher was preaching that morning from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he slammed his hand on the pulpit, and he said, God is not angry with you anymore. For some reason, I thought God was just sitting in the heavenly, just waiting for me to make a mistake. Waiting for you to make a mistake, to come down on us, to punish us, to chastise us. But you know, because I'm in Christ, we're free from condemnation. We're free from punishment. We're free from doubt. I don't have to doubt because I know I'm a child of God now. I've been born again. I know if I close my eyes today that in a split second that I will see him face to face. What a joy, what a privilege. There's no, and you know what? There's also no fear. I ain't scared, y'all. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, God has not given me the spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's given me that discipline. This morning, it's not about you when you realize that you're in Christ Jesus. He has plans for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And your position is found in Him. You know, I have a little girl that goes to this school. In case you don't know who she is, her name is Adriana Rogers. Adriana, raise your hand so everybody will know who I'm talking to. Yes, that's my baby right there. When she is in trouble, when she has something to celebrate, when she just wants some daddy time, she never has to beg because she belongs to me. I want to celebrate her in the good times and also in the bad times. And you know what? She's so much my daughter until she has my last name. Rogers, that's my girl, you all. And because you belong to God, because your position is God, you are now a child of God. Amen. But not only does he remind us concerning our position in Christ, but secondly, here in our text, in Ephesians, he refines our perception of Christ. He refines our perception of Christ. He enables us to see truth and to be conformed to his perfect righteousness. In verse 7 here, here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Amen. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's a great text right there. He refines our position in Christ. He helps us understand his perfect righteousness. He helps us to see Christ a whole lot differently. In John chapter 4, verse 26, here's what it says. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He refines our position in Christ. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, when I was a new professor here, my office was in Fisher over here, and next door to me was Cliff Bedell. And one of his favorite verses was 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. What he helps us with here, as we realize it's not about us, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, he helps us to refine our perception of who Christ is. He helps us understand truth, even when we don't want to hear it. He helps us to be conformed to his perfect righteousness. Have you ever been doing the wrong thing and all of a sudden, the Spirit nudges you that, hey, you shouldn't be doing this? Or he reminds you, hey, this is not what a child of God should be doing. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about Christ and being conformed to Christ. And when he refines our perception of Christ, Lord, that I may see you. Lord, that I may see you in all of your glory. Lord, help me to see Christ. Help me to see Christ and Christ crucified. Help me to see a resurrected Christ in my life. And I pray that others see Christ in me. Have you ever been around folks before and they remind you, aren't you a Christian? You go, yeah, but I don't need your reminder right now because I want to kind of fudge on it a little bit or compromise on it a little bit. And they call you out and remind you what you should be. Let your position in Christ, let your perception of Christ remind you of who you should be. There's a third reason in our text. He reassures us concerning our ultimate perfection in Christ. He enables us to persevere in the struggle to overcome the flesh. It's not about me. It's about Christ. And he reassures us concerning our ultimate perfection in Christ. Back to verse 4 again, he says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You and I both know the struggle is real. It's tough to be a believer sometime. It's tough to be a Christian sometime. Sometimes we wonder whether or not we can really hold on and persevere to the end. When you know it's not about you, when you know that your ultimate perfection is found in Christ, not in what I do, not in how I think, but it's found in Christ, life can be a lot more freeing. I don't have to compare myself with others. Amen. I don't have to be in competition with others, except when I'm playing a sporting event against them. Amen. I want to beat the, y'all ain't praying with me right there. But on a day-to-day basis, I don't have to compare myself with anybody. Why? Because I realize my ultimate perfection is in Christ. 1 John says it this way, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but this one thing I know, that we shall be like him when he comes. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 through 30 says it this way, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps us, helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Amen. Brothers and sisters, note this, that he reassures us of coming victory. He promises us of that perfection that we will have in Christ. He promised us that we can overcome the flesh. Paul said it this way in Romans 7, when I wanted to do good, evil was always present. I hope I'm talking to a group of students, a group of faculty and staff that really want to overcome the flesh, but really sees your final victory and that ultimate perfection in Christ. You know, they sing a song at some funerals I've been to, may the works I've done speak for me. I get real nervous when they start singing that song. I say, Lord, I don't want the works I've done to speak for me. I want what you've done to speak for me. It's not about me. It's not about you, but it's about Christ. Amen. sometimes we go through life and we look at our bills, our circumstances, and then all of a sudden the world gets small because it's all about me. Whether I'm in a relationship, out of relationship. Whether somebody does it the way I like things to be done or they do things the way they like for it to be done. And it constantly reminds me that it's not about me. I've been married for 21 years now to Sylvia, Adriana's mama. And you know, I've learned the secret to get along with her, especially with the temperature in the house. She says, what temperature would you like for me to put on? I said, whatever you like. And that's how I've gotten along with her for 21 years. We don't have to struggle because I've compromised. No, if mama's happy, everybody is happy. I was waiting for a few more amens right there. This is a tough crowd. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel? That it's too much? You just had midterm exams here. Some are behind on your work. Do you feel like throwing in the towel? You feel like you want me to register for next semester? I need to finish this semester first before I can register for next semester. Somebody say, I need to finish paying this school bill before I think about another school bill. Man, it's so hard. Somebody may be sitting here going, I don't want to come back because I don't have the same sweetheart that I had at the beginning of the semester. And it's just hard to be here. It's not about you. Somebody may want to go home because you don't like your roommate. Lord, this school would be perfect if I could get another roommate. Can I tell you a little secret? Your roommate feels the same way. Y'all ain't saying nothing this morning. It's not about you. But it's about Christ. So Lord, help me to understand my position in Christ. Help me to rediscover or refine that perception of Christ and note that my ultimate perfection comes in Christ. But there's one more reason I don't want to give you before I take my seat. He releases in us the power of Christ. When it's not about you, when it's about Christ, you have his power available to you to overcome human weakness, to be transformed into his character, and to grow in Christ's likeness. And here's what Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 says. And what is the immeasurable greatness of the power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? You know, I want my good friend, Dr. Crow, to come here. Just come here for a moment. Help me out. Can you preach with me for a moment? I know we don't usually do this, but this will be a great time. Can y'all make this microphone live for a second? Y'all give Dr. Crow a big hand. Now help us understand. Verse 19 here. Do you find any power in that verse? Help
us. Any power?
Yeah, help me with this power.
Yeah, there are five words in this verse that talk about power.
Help us with this.
You want me to read the Greek, don't you?
Read the Greek.
You're just pretending you don't know the Greek, aren't you?
Yeah, just read the Greek. Okay. Read the Greek.
So you got the word megathos, which is translated there greatness. The word dunameos, which is the translated power. You got the word energeion, which is working, refers to the operative power. You got kratos and iskuos, and all of those are five words that talk about the power of God. And the reason that Paul uses five words and kind of pushes them all into one verse that are all kind of synonymous is to kind of say that God is really, 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 really powerful. But to say it in a lot more elegant way than that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all give Dr. Cotto a big hand. That's what I was going to say, but you can say it more eloquently than I did. God is really, 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 that's it enough times. He's powerful. Aren't you glad that he's all powerful this morning? We were in faculty retreat some years ago, probably 15 years ago, and our provost at the time was leading the faculty retreat. And he said something at that faculty retreat that just blew me away. He looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, and he said, not that we're adequate within ourselves, but our adequacy, our sufficiency comes from Christ. Somebody might be sitting here this morning, you thought you were adequate in yourself, powerful in yourself, sufficient in yourself. Your adequacy, your sufficiency, your power doesn't come from within you. It comes from Christ in you. So he releases the power of Christ in you. Maybe you're sitting there today saying, I haven't felt this power. Ask the Lord, Lord, release the power of Christ in me. Maybe you're too tired to feel the power. Get some rest so you can feel this power. Allow the power of Christ to rule your heart, to rule your life. And as Dr. Crotto said, God is saying through this verse that he's very, 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 very powerful. When you walk through those doors this morning, no matter which door you walk through, did you walk in here saying or thinking that it's about me? What I have on the schedule? What I have to do? Or you're saying, Lord, teach me how to connect with you, to quiet me before you. So, Lord, that I can understand my position in you, that I can refine my perception of you. That, Lord, I know in the midst of my struggle that my ultimate perfection is found in you. If I was at church right now, we'd be saying hallelujah. And number four, last but not least, this is the best reason that he can release the power of Christ in you. And right where you're sitting right now, if you haven't been feeling like you can make it, I want you to know you can, because it's not about you. It's all about Christ. There's a little song that we sang at church sometime. There's power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood. I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I would sing that song right now, because there's power. Do y'all know that song? Yes. Brother, if you don't mind, come and play this song for me so we can close. There is power. Let's stand together. There's power in the blood. You got the tune together, brother. Let him sing it too. Praise God. You don't want me to sing. Thank you. Maybe there's someone this morning that's gotten your focus off of Christ. And maybe it's been all about you. And this morning you just want to come and let's gather around the altar so we can pray. And we can ask not only for the rest of this semester, but for the rest of your life to let it be about Christ. And may it never be about me. Even as I serve my brothers and sisters, let it be about Christ and not about me. If you want to come, why don't you come real quick? We'll, cousins, come on down real quick. We'll pray together. I see you coming. Just come on down. We'll wait for you. Because it's all about Christ today. If that's you, you've been watching yourself too much. Maybe your perfectionism has gotten in your way of seeing Christ. Why don't you come on down? We want to take this moment and turn our attention. We want to give the rest of our semester, the rest of our year. There's some more of you that need to come, and you need to come quickly. It's not about you, but it's about Christ. It's about Christ. Lord, help me understand my position in you, my perception of you. Help me, Father, to understand my ultimate perfection is found in you. And help me this morning to understand that your power is available to me right now. Let's pray all over this place. Father, I pray for those who've come around this morning and were at least honest enough to step out and say, Father, I've been watching myself too much and not focused enough on you. I pray, Father, that we'd have a heart here at CIU, not to look at ourselves, not to look at what we're doing, but to keep our eyes on you, God. In the Old Testament, one psalmist says it this way, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help, because my help cometh from the Lord. Father, for those of us that have gotten so individualized, so narcissistic, so self-centered, God, I pray that you use this moment, God, to turn our hearts, to turn our attention, to turn our faith back to you. And God, may we honor you as the number one in our lives, not just today, not just the rest of the semester, but for the rest of our lives. Thank you for the power that's in the blood. And Father, we honor you today and we love you. And we give your name all the glory and honor and praise. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ I pray. And every heart said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.